Ladies and gentlemen, is that on? I declare the meeting open at 6:31 and I begin by acknowledging we're on the traditional lands of the Kaurna people. We respect their elders past and present. I'll let everyone know that the audio of the council meeting is recorded, other than confidential parts, and will be made publicly available once the minutes have been scrutinised. I ask elected members whether they foresee any potential conflict of interest with any item on the agenda. If not, we'll just keep going. Would someone like to move that we receive the communication reports? Moved, Councillor Telfer. Seconded, Councillor Schilling. All those in favour? It's carried unanimously. Thank you. Let's... I always miss those minutes. Yeah, okay. Would someone like to move confirmation of the minutes of the General Council meeting held on 23rd of March and the Special General Council meeting? Note that they are the publicly available minutes of the Special General Council meeting and the confidential aspects are dealt with within the body of this meeting agenda. Someone moved, Councillor Duncan, seconded Councillor Telfer. All those in favour? Carried unanimously, thank you. Let's just, I'm suggesting, just bear with me for a moment. I'm keen to bring forward the YCC, the Youth Collective item, because we have a number of interested people in the audience, but let's just bear with me while we deal with a couple of matters that can probably be dispatched fairly quickly. In relation to the Marion Cultural Centre Plaza, we're waiting on some funding news. The query that I had for this with governance was that I felt that there was no basis for confidentiality other than if people wanted to debate the substance of it. And of course the reports, which contain a lot of financial information. So the minutes themselves, I couldn't see anything objectionable if people go with the recommendation simply to adjourn the report. So could I just have some governance advice on, if we want to put that into effect, what should we move?
Through the chair, as long as members don't want to debate the item, then we can move straight on to adjourning the item to the 22nd of June and then just retain the report and attachments, but the minutes could be released.
Perhaps could I just informally ask if anyone objects to putting it off until we've got the funding news? Because if there's no objection to that, then we can move an appropriate motion that keeps the attachments confidential, but we can discuss it in the open and just move on. So if we look at page 35, we don't really need to go into confidence. And then we're left with the blue page just after that. And the motion then would be, one, adjourn this item to the General Council meeting to be held on 22nd of June 2021. And then in the confidentiality motion, delete the words, this report, and delete the words, and any minutes arising from this report, so that the attachments remain confidential. Ms. McKenzie, you happy with that? So that's what I'm suggesting to put your intentions into effect, councillors. It's up to you, Councillor Masika.
I would like to move up the motion.
Yes, the adjournment and that confidentiality clause as suggested. Very good. Seconded, Councillor Schilling. Any debate? Then I'll put the motion. All those in favour? Carried unanimously. Thank you. Now, in relation to the city limits policy, with the leave of the meeting, I would defer that to the end of this meeting because we know there's a motion in the agenda which might actually have an impact on the policy. So it makes sense to put it off for the time being. So if there's no objection, we'll come back to that at the end of the meeting if we get to it. I don't need a motion for that. We'll just deal with it procedurally. Then we have committee recommendations, in fact, minutes. So if you look at pages 56 and 64, minutes of the Asset and Sustainability Committee and a Special Finance and Audit Committee meeting. Move on block, yes. Moved Councillor Schilling, seconded Councillor Duncan. I will just, before I put that to a vote, are there any questions about those minutes? Then I'll put the motion. All those in favour? That's carried unanimously. Thank you. So at this point, I was going to seek leave of the meeting to bring forward the Youth Collective item, which is on page 158. Would anyone object? If there's no objection, then let's do that. We'll go to page 158. Now, we have two options put forward by staff. We have an option that was emailed by Councillor Schilling a little while ago, and he has revised his thoughts on that. And I think that's what appears in blue on the screen in the chamber. Yes, we may not have all read that. So I might actually just give councillors a moment to take that in. Question, Councillor Crossland? Yes, let's do that before we have the motion or a motion moved. Three questions are allowed. Ms. Byrne is going to come forward. What's your first question, Councillor Crossland?
Thank you, Your Worship. The first question is, I appreciate we've been through a COVID year. I'm just surprised that we haven't had any feedback or any input into projects. We haven't had too many projects in the Coastal Ward, but we have had some playground designs and some things, but I don't recall any actual input being received from the YCC or even mentioned at ward briefings.
Through the chair, the YCC is not necessarily has been established as an event per se committee that repeatedly does events. They have been engaged with open space and had considerable input with the skate park that's in the southern wards, and they have also done their Rocket League, but they've also Capella as well. So they've actually been engaged with a number of teams that have actually reached out to them and have given advice from a young person perspective.
So in terms of what this group has delivered, what exactly are you saying they've delivered in the last 12 months?
Through the chair, they haven't been operating for a full 12 months yet. Their first meeting was established on the 1st of July last year, and so it's not quite 12 months yet. They are a reference group, more so where council can seek young people's point of view into projects that and other things. Such as design, building, environmental projects and things like that, that we may be seeking a young person's perspective.
Thank you. And the last question, when I need a young person's perspective, I often go up to the Hallett Cobart 12 school. They have a student voice, can have up to 30 students of different age groups that are a free resource and give a great local perspective. How are we using those groups within high schools, and how do those groups not deliver what the YCC can deliver?
Through the chair, I might ask if Shannon could speak to this as well.
Okay.
Is that okay?
Of course it's okay. I mean,
thank you.
Often the most comprehensive answers come from the people closest to the shop floor, so to speak. So. That would be welcomed. Sorry, Shannon, I've forgotten your surname out of our 400 staff.
That's totally fine. It's Shannon Swart, S-W-A-R-T.
Thank you.
Brilliant. Okay, do you want to repeat the question for me, please? Sorry.
Okay, yeah, the question is, we have in many schools what's called a student voice, which is a collection of usually two or three students from each class that regularly meet. And we get access to those students to debate things or ask about local projects. I'm just trying to work out how the YCC fits into that and how many schools have you visited and interacted with those groups?
Sure. We have managed to build a pretty successful relationship so far with Seaview. We've also got a budding relationship in the works with, I think, the Australian Maths and Science School as well, who've asked for representation on an ongoing basis. That's something that's just sort of been spoken about. But mainly, it's come primarily through events. So for example, we've run the very first eSports tournament in collaboration with the City of Holfast Bay. And one of our members went to every single school, primary school and high school in the City of Marion area and handed them flyers, spoke to them, got it across in newsletters, etc. So there's a lot of engagement, but given that we have also only been around for 9 months, there is a lot of relationship building to do. Through our collaboration with the Commissioner for Children and Young People, we're looking to create a resource to work on things around mental health, that sort of stuff. And what we're hoping to do as well is be able to take that from the strong relationship that we have with Seaview into other schools as well. So we're always keen to build on that, but at the moment there are only a few key schools that we've managed to engage with so far.
All right, questions from the Chair as well. One of the motions that's being proposed here is that the Youth Collective give feedback on projects to Council. Is it the case that so far, and I realise it's only been 9 months, that there has been feedback from the Youth Collective, but that it's gone back up the chain to staff and not to elected members? Is that how it's worked, or has there just not been a lot of feedback on projects at this point?
I can't talk to what happens above. I don't know all of that sort of, I don't need to press, all of that sort of stuff. But what I can talk to is the fact that we've been able to collaborate with a lot of teams internally and then externally as well. So, for example, we've done a lot of work with Open Spaces, so there have been a lot of consultations and engagements. We've done a lot of engagement. And then when we've been going to schools or when we've been doing stuff with the City of Holfast Bay, there's been engagement on that side of things. And then whether that's been fed up, all that, I'm not really quite sure of what's happened there. We do have an Instagram page and a Facebook page, a City of Marion Youth Development Facebook page, where we try and take a photo and let everyone know what we've been getting up to at the same time. So we are regularly engaged on social media, which is another way of staying engaged on that way as well. Then we have, we spoke at the Elected Member Forum, which was in November last year, and I think January or February was my last quarterly report as well, which did a bit of an update. So that's sort of what's happened around that side.
And I do have another question, but Councillor Gard, what's your question?
Your Worship, I'm just wanting to get some clarification from staff, if we can, on the actual tangible need for expanded hours of the officer in question, the YCC officer. We're talking 1.5 FTEs to 0.3 FTEs to 0.6, and then we have a possible motion that's going to say that does say 0.4. So we're talking about for 1.5 for the 0.3, 1.5 days a week, and so we're really talking about a half a day for every 0.1 of FTE. Could there be a description of how that need fills the time, or how the role fills the time?
Or to put it another way...
In short, that's...
To put it another way, how can it not be enough time to have 0.3 to support the group, which is there to develop young people's leadership?
Sure thing. Am I the best person to speak to this?
You're in the hot seat, Ms.
Okay, okay, no worries, that's fine. I just double checking. So at the moment, I think 0.3, a day and a half, I think it's 11.75 hours it's worked out to. The YCC meets fortnightly, once in person and then once via Zoom as well. And we alternate that way. We do have a lot of engagement that we do, and then we're also trying to move into that event space as well. So just recently, as I said, we had a Rocket League tournament, which was pretty large scale. It was supported by MSI and M-Wave. They donated around $7,000-$8,000 worth of products. We gave a door prize away, which was a gaming PC valued at $2,500, which was so incredibly cool. It was an amazing event. It was large scale, and I will just use this opportunity to shout out to the amazing YCC for pulling it all together, because it came entirely from their minds, and then they were able to event manage it crazily, despite the fact that they had never done anything to that scale before. And then, of course, you know, the promotion, the media side of things. There are so many little bits and bobs that have then we've now realised we need to be able to prioritise time if we were going to continue large-scale events like that. Thankfully, it was a partnership with the City of Holfast Bay, so they were able to allocate resources in terms of FTE towards that. If it was just the City of Marion, it would not have been possible, because the group requires a lot of support in terms of skill development and making sure everyone's able to get to meetings and just being present. It feels weird to sort of say what I could do. There are so many things in the works and so many projects that we start, so many ideas that we have that we could expand on. Part of that is the development of a Southern Esports League, which all of this is in the report as well. But the City of Onkaparinga have an esports portfolio that they would be keen to build on. The City of Mitcham and the City of Unley have some fledgling youth advisory committees that we could engage with as well. There's talk as well of an annual youth advisory collective statewide collaboration, which could be really cool on a large scale to get the ideas and the opinions of young people at a state level, and that would be something that would need people behind it to coordinate. And then school holiday programs, regular events, like whether it's a tournament or whether it's some other idea that they come up with that they would like to further. There are partnership opportunities with Headspace, for example, that's just pulled in around the corner. Ongoing relationships with potentially coordinating something similarly for community centres or otherwise. There are so many things that we've talked about wanting to be able to do, but we really have to limit ourselves, because at the end of the day, 11.75 hours with meetings that take up 5 hours of that every second week tangibly can get a bit challenging.
Thank you. Well, after that excellent answer, I'm thinking we should probably ask more staff to justify their positions. Councillor Hull.
Thank you. A couple of questions. The entire budget for youth in our city, what would that be? Every year, what do we spend on youth collectively?
That'd be for Ms Clark or Ms Byrne, perhaps.
Thank you, through the chair. With youth, we have the budget for the grants, which is $194,000 per annum, and staffing as well at a 0.6.
So altogether, what's that as a monetary figure? What's that come to? Just so we've got a blunt instrument to talk about in our decision making about how much we spend on youth each year and the relativity of this motion.
If you're adding almost another full time, it's 250 to 300,000 a year.
Yeah. Okay, thank you. Seaview High, who are you dealing with there?
I have forgotten his name momentarily. Lachlan, who goes to Seaview, do you mind? Joel. Mr. Fitzgerald, that's who we're currently
engaging. So a staff member.
Yeah, staff right. member, and we're doing it primarily with their chaplaincy program and their SRC program. So right. the two of them combined to create this group.
You're not having any direct, along Councillor Crosland's question, you're not actually having any direct interface with students there.
We've invited all students to be a part of a program, and the youth workers there and Mr. Fitzgerald have extended the invitation. Primarily those that are interested are those that have been in that chaplaincy block, and then also members of the SRC.
Okay.
Right. So the invitation is...
So Councillor Crosland's question was about your interface with the school council. My daughter's the president. So it worries me that you're dealing with a chaplaincy group. Now, if any of our citizens...
Councillor Hull, this is question time at the moment. If you have points to make in debate, that can come later.
Yeah. No, the question is, dealing with the chaplaincy group alienates another group within the school who are not subscribers to a religion.
Sure. Absolutely. So the way that we've done this, so this is a partner with the Commissioner for Children and Young People. The YCC have come up with the concept. It's called How to Be a Safe Space, and it tackles mental health in a safe way. We've also got the support of Headspace in this program. The concept for the program is to have young people develop a peer-to-peer led resource to create conversations, build self-awareness about how to be a safe space for yourself and for others. How we've proposed this is we had something in place before the circuit breaker last year, which was going to be for all of year 8s and all of year 9s. However, the circuit breaker occurred and that unfortunately got derailed because it was the end of the year. Now we've tried to pick it back up again, and we've been talking with Joel, who directed us to youth workers, and it's extended to the SRC through a chaplaincy time block. So I think that's a subject that they could be a part of, if that's sort of how it's been described to me. So that's the time period where people would come to that class. So it's not specifically for people in that program, it's just that's the time block and the contact that we've been engaging with.
Is it possible going forward to work along the lines of Councillor Crosland, to interface with the school councils at various schools and broaden our scope away from chaplaincy groups to actually be more inclusive?
That would be awesome. At the moment, because it's in its infancy, I suppose we are really just taking what we can get, but I will reiterate that our main contact at Seaview High has not been the chaplaincy. It's just that staff member has had more time to help us coordinate and support the two new youth workers that are at Seaview High that have been hired to pick up the slack of year sevens moving in there next year. So there's a lot more opportunity there. It's not specifically for chaplaincy programs, but we'll definitely try and make sure that we're across the board in terms of being diverse and there. Yeah.
I think that brings the questions to an end. Councillor Schilling, you want to move the motion?
Thank you, Your Worship. I'd like to move the motion that is printed in blue on the main screen up there this evening. Members, I think Ms. Swart has outlined why she thinks the role needs to be increased. I think point four brings it to 2 days rather than 1.5 days, and will give her that extra time to meet the requirements of the job. I do understand that she probably does some work from home. I think most of us do some work from home with all of our jobs that goes unnoticed, and I think it's worth her getting that extra half a day, especially when it's 5 hours a fortnight. I think she said that she's spending on meetings as well, and that comes out of her a lot of time for work. The group is relatively new. Yes, we gave it an 18-month time frame. It took nearly 6 months to get the group up and going. COVID hit, and then we went through the selection panel and we appointed the committee that we've got. They have done some wonderful things. I have met with them once at a meeting and have been to a couple of events with them. I've spoken with Shannon. I've continually tried to make sure that they're going the way they have gone, but I would like to see more feedback coming through. I am aware that they consulted on Hugh Johnson Boulevard reserve upgrade. It would have been nice to see that feedback come back through to us, not just because it's in my ward, but because it's great to see the feedback that's coming back. It would have also been nice to see their feedback from Capella and the skate park come back through to us, especially if it's there. It's nice to see it. I think it would be great for us to get a informal update from either Ms. Swart or a YCC member at a elected member forum, just so that we can see what's going on. We can have that informal discussion with them and go from there. Obviously, there is a council to appoint a liaison officer. I think that's a really good idea. Obviously, I'd like to put my hand up for it, and we've come to time.
Yes, now just the motion's been moved, but can I just have a show of hands about any of the members being interested in being a liaison officer to the YCC? question, Councillor Masika?
No. I wanted to suggest a name for the one to be the agent of
Well, we've had one suggestion. What's your suggestion?
No, I wanted to suggest the
That's brilliant. A brilliant suggestion. So, and I don't hear any others, so let's put that into the motion. Thank you, Councillor Masika. Councillor Valescu, you're going to second the motion as such? Sure, Councillor Valescu. Is there anyone speaking against? A question, Councillor Guy, a short question, thank you.
It's really an extension of my first question, but put to Councillor Schilling if he could possibly, in his closing speech, qualify the lesser FTE more specifically. But I'm just a bit concerned that there is a gap perceived by staff as an opportunity gap, let's call it.
Are there any speakers against as such? Because if not, we'll just go to Councillor Schilling if he wants to offer any final comments.
Thank you, Worship. I wasn't going to say anything further. I think extending it to point four is a minimal increase that gives Ms. Swart that little bit more time to ensure that things get completed, especially given that 5 hours of her fortnight is taken up by the meetings itself. So it gives her that extra time in the day-to-day role to meet the requirements that we have now put on them. And I think going from point three to point four is quite explainable to the community. And I think this motion in general is a great step forward for youth in the City of Marion.
I'll put it to the vote. All those in favour, raise your hand. That's carried unanimously. So thank you. And thank you to staff for the great reports. As was indicated earlier, I did attend one of the YCC meetings along with Mr. Lyons, and I have to say it was a great vibe. Now we turn to the confidential items. I've had a look through the cover reports for those matters to go into confidence. If someone wishes to, they could be moved on block so that all of those discussions occur in confidence. Councillor Telfer, seconded Councillor Mason. I'll put it to the vote. All those in favour? Carried unanimously. Thank you.
Climate change to the end of the crossovers, and then
we can. Great. All right, members.
For the previous ones, yes.
So, if I'm correct, we're up to the draft annual business plan, correct?
Correct.
Correct. Do I have a mover? Do we want to suspend standing orders to discuss this? Let's go from there. Questions from Councillor Gard? Councillor Gard, can I just pick you up on one thing before we move ahead? When you said page regarding Merino Hall and the Marion Golf Club, you were referring to page 101 or 111?
Sorry, did I say 101?
101, thank you. Thank you, Councillor Gard. Mr. Barmore, do you have any comments on those?
Through the Chair, listen, we're happy to take on board your comments and feedback, and we'll certainly adjust the document in relation to the items you've identified. We will have to get the Capital Works team to get back to you on the Newland Avenue one, but obviously we'll investigate that as well, but obviously we won't adjust the plan for that. The ratios we can certainly put in according to, I understand it's a public document, so we can put in a brief description to explain that as well for the members. With regards to CPI, obviously this is the indexation forecast in Council's long-term plan. We don't have a forecast CPI necessarily for. We do have comment in the report around CPI in relation to, which we just currently based on 1%, about we get a CPI release tomorrow, which will update that, but it's currently based on 1%, which is similar to the rates in the plan.
Councillor Crossland.
Mine's more of a comment, Mr. Barnwell. I think I mentioned it last time as well. Councils are often criticised, particularly by MPs have increased to rates and how outrageous they are. It would be nice to have an option to have a look at the increase to government fees and how we compare, and then we could look at whether we add that in or not. And by that I mean emergency services, levy, land tax, rego, all those things, because I've got a feeling they're going up faster than our rates are. And it's sometimes worth putting that in there as a comparison so that people can see CPI and, you know, general SA government increases that we're sort of competing with.
Through the chair, obviously this document is due for release Friday for public consultation, so I'm happy to...
That's just my comment feedback, not to include in the draft.
Yeah.
But it would be nice to have it as a potential inclusion.
Yeah, and I think when we bring
final.
The report back the next time at the May meeting, we can have those numbers for you. Yeah.
Councillor Telfer. So my understanding, Councillor Telfer, are they the ones that are in blue? They are green.
Green.
Oh, yes. Councillor Telfer's are green, and the Mayor's comments are in blue. Does that help? Councillor Valescu? I'm going to look for a mover. Councillor Duncan, do you have anything to say? Seconder? Councillor Gard? Anyone against? No. I'll put that for the vote. All those in favour? It's carried unanimously. We move on to, if I'm right, heritage interpreted signage proposal. I'm assuming we have staff here. If there are any questions, Ms. Byrne? Great. I'll look to the floor. Councillor Clancy?
Glendore Boys Home has a history of sexual and physical abuse. These stories were told to the Mulligan Inquiry and the Royal Commission into Institutional Responses to Child Sexual Abuse. Kids in care stayed there, they were abused there, kids from the stolen generation were housed there, yet there's no reflection of this, and we're even going to commemorate the superintendent of the time. I'm just wondering how this was overlooked. How come we're ignoring that history in Glendore?
Okay, so through the chair, it was chosen as a site because we know all of those things. The information has yet to be totally researched so that it can be reflected in a sign. So this, the proposal in front of you is a high-level concept about what that is. The information will be researched by the volunteers and the Heritage Research Centre coordinator and then considered and negotiated and to reflect everything, the meaning of that centre and the historical past. I believe that there's also some inclusion of the significance of that site in the new playground that's actually being developed at the moment as well. So the content of the heritage signs has not been finalised because it hasn't been researched.
Okay, but we have been paid and a consultant a significant amount of money, and they've come up with things like reflecting children's work and activities, story of one child, so have a especially Jim Slade, who was the superintendent at the time, there's just, I don't think there's been any consideration of it.
Through the chair, those were the high-level themes that were identified as part of the extension project to the Heritage Centre. So the exhibition space that was, a report came back to council for that, that was anchoring the rest of the themes across the city. So the consultant at a high level identified the different themes that were of significance to reflect the cultural heritage of different places across the city.
Councillor Crossland.
Thank you. I actually would like to move a deferral on this item. There's things in Hallett Cove and Hallett Cove Conservation Park, which I see the note reports that it isn't council land, but discussions with you aren't complete. So it's, I can't even argue for or against, even in my own ward. My deferral would request that each of these goes to the relevant ward briefings and maybe comes back to council in July.
My question would have been around the Conservation Park as well. Is there anyone that would second Councillor Crossland's deferral? Councillor Valescu? No worries. I've just got a question from Mr. Lines.
Chair, my only comment on that, and I get that there's still discussion to have place, would be the budget implications. July would mean there'd be nothing in the 21-22, so it may well mean that we spend the next year fleshing these out and look to fund it in the following year. I'm just wondering what the intention is of this deferral.
I'm comfortable with that, Mr. Lyons. It gives us the opportunity to maybe partner fund during the next year, and I don't think this should be fully funded by council, particularly if we're building signs in due land. I think there's a opportunity to maybe co-fund that, and we can look at that funding like we do throughout the year for other projects.
Mr. Lyons.
And I think that's very reasonable, and in which case maybe recommendation 3 would suit everyone's purposes.
Councillor Crossland? Yes. It is in your agenda.
Yes.
So you're happy to move point 3 of the recommendation down the bottom of the screen, Councillor Crossland?
Yes.
Is the seconder happy with that one? Because this is, it's not procedural now, is it? Because it's part of the motion, so I will put that to the chamber. I will put the option 3 of what's printed in your agendas to the floor. All those in favour? That's carried unanimously. Thank you, members. We'll now move, thank you, Ms. Byrne. We'll now move to the bylaw review. Mr. Della Coombs is coming up. Members, I'm not sure whether this is one you do want to suspend standing orders on or whether you would prefer to just seek a mover. Councillor Valescu?
Just happy to move as is.
Move as is.
What we can do on this issue.
Is there a seconder for that? Thank you, Councillor Valescu. Councillor Mason, anything to add?
Pretty good conversation about this at the forum, so I'm happy to second.
Is there any opposition or questions? Councillor Telfer?
Most hesitant about the draft bylaw. I know it's a draft bylaw, but I believe there should be some care in what is done. A week ago, our family Hazel hen started crowing, and we have Hazel to disappear in the next week and three new silky chickens to come. So I know how difficult these things are for people. So whereas I don't object to the draft bylaw being looked at, I think it needs to be looked at with some sensitivity.
Thank you, Councillor Telfer. Mr. Della Coombs, do you have any comments on that?
Through the chair, maybe if I can just make a quick comment. Because that is an additional bylaw, it doesn't actually have to comply with the timeframe requirements for the renewal of the existing one, so we can take a little bit more time on that one if needed. It would just be that if they're all done at the same time, then obviously their review processes are all in sync.
And through the chair, if I might add, thank you for the question, Councillor Telfer. The way we have worded it at the moment is for it to be, I guess, some allowance of people to have these animals through a permit system rather than being complete zero tolerance, basically for that sensitivity, noting that we do have 90,000 plus residents and people do have a right to keep a rooster. I've heard of show roosters and these kind of things. So if we want, there's a couple of different approaches. We're opting for the more nuanced and considered one at this stage, and Council will get a look at that draft before it goes anywhere. So I look forward to bringing that back.
If there's no one else to speak, Councillor Valescu. Yep, closing, yep.
It would actually sour the relationships, because I think that for perhaps a principal stance on a couple of election signs that don't really affect anything, you can actually really damage the relationship you have with politicians. So, because they may take it a different way to how we intend. So I would only stress that we tread carefully with that election sign policy.
Just make a quick comment on that. There is a bill before the House to ban call flutes in South Australia in general. Just if you weren't aware of that, there is a private member's bill by the member for Waite to ban call flutes in South Australia. I will put that motion as printed to the chamber. All those in favour? Carried unanimously. Thank you, members. Thank you, Mr. Della Coombs, Ms. Perrin. We'll move to the community bus. I know this is a fun one. Councillor Crossland.
I'd like to defer this one as well to after the budget. The reason being is the whole reason for investing in a third bus, of which I was the main proponent and moved that way, was to look at increased patronage of our neighbourhood centres and particularly Trott Park. We now have a review of the community bus, and there is no mention of how it's increased patronage at any particular neighbourhood centre or how it's actually served the community other than the additional shopping trips and things like that. So it sort of missed the point of the whole reason we put on the third bus in my mind, and I'd like the report to reflect that before we make a decision.
Is there a seconder for Councillor Crossland's motion? I think staff may want to talk to this as well. I'll invite Mr. Lyons, Ms. Byrne, and Ms. Thwaites, if need be.
There's no seconder.
But there is no seconder, so it lapses of a seconder,
yeah.
Doesn't it?
No.
Councillor Telfer?
Mayor,
I just called that, Councillor Masika. Councillor Telfer to second. Would you like to speak to that, Councillor Telfer? No? I'll call on staff to make any comment, and if any members have questions, I'll open it up to questions. I'll hold on 1 second, councillors.
So the adjournment is a procedural motion. We haven't got a specific date and time for when it will be adjourned to.
After the budget, so July.
I think we'd like to comment on two things. One is the logic of deferring, and second is the absence of the data that we were clearly after, and I agree with Councillor Crossland on that, and I'm going to ask Ms. Byrne to comment on that. My broader comment is that the resolution that we're currently under expires in June. We'll be giving up the bus in June and ending its lease, and so one of the options, and in fact it's my preferred option if I could say that in front of you, would be to retain the current lease and continue it on to collect the data that we don't have. In the absence of a direction tonight, we would be giving up the lease in June.
Members, as this is I will ask Ms. Byrne to comment in a minute, but I will just advise you the advice I've received from Governance. As this is a procedural motion, there is no debate on it, so we will have to put it to the Chamber. If that passes, then the lease will expire, and then we'll discuss this in July. If this doesn't pass, then obviously we will look for another motion. I will ask Ms. Byrne to comment, and then I will put it to the floor. Ms. Byrne.
Through the chair, the hiring of the third community bus has been positive, however, has not been without its challenges. One of which, when we first hired the bus, we had difficulty, which was communicated to members, we had difficulty getting a number of volunteers. There was some difficulty in getting additional volunteers to regularly commit to drive the bus. We also engaged with our community, of which we had 800 survey responses back around the community bus, and a number of people did want shopping trips, but they didn't want to go to our centres, so particularly Trott Park. That was feedback that we got back from our survey at that point in time. Then, of course, that was in 2019, at the end of 2019. But in 2020, of course, as we know, we had the thing called COVID, and that did impact and has limited our ability to collect good quality data because our bus service ceased.
Thank you, Ms. Byrne. As it is a procedural motion, I do need to put it to the chamber. All those for Councillor Crossland's deferral, all those, okay, those against, it fails by majority. Councillor Valescu. I look for a seconder. Councillor Duncan, do you wish to speak to that?
I've been a driver of the third community bus for since June, I think, last year.
You knocked me over twice.
I keep standing in the road. I have found that everybody has found it a valuable thing to have. It certainly does do a lot for the community, and I also, you know, drive in my ward, which was even better. I wouldn't defer it. I think we should extend it. We also look at buying a bus that actually, this third bus, it doesn't have the
a capability for people with disabilities or who are unable to get up the steps. And I think that's where we should go, is to look at getting a bus that is catering for everybody, and then there'll be more use as well, and not just for, you know, little things.
Thank you, Councillor Duncan. A question from Councillor Gard.
Obviously, it turns you off a bit to see the word diesel in a purchase proposition, but I'm just wondering whether there's more information about the electric bus option. Remembering, and I can't remember the gentleman's surname, but Christian, who was on our...
Reynolds.
Reynolds, thank you, was in the bus business. Whether we have any ability to tax him for some information. But to me, that additional information compared with just bowling along and going for diesel if we were to purchase a third vehicle would be necessary.
Through the chair, absolutely, Councillor, and we could do that. My advice to you would be quite candid. We don't have the data yet, and Councillor Crossland's correct, and I can't hand on heart tell you that long term we should have three buses or two or four. So my recommendation is just to keep this short term lease going. It's easy, it's cheap. Yes, it's diesel, but it works. We have two buses that will be replaced in 2 years' time. That's the point that we ask the electric option questions, and I'll be the first to be promoting them to you. I did give members some information today on the electric buses that the City of Adelaide has. They're just moving into this space too. It's not a big ticket for them. They've got two very small ones and a big one that they've actually lent to Adelaide Metro because it wasn't quite working for them. In 2 years' time, we'll have charging facilities in all of our sites. We'll have electric cars on our sites, and we can easily add a bus to that. Correct. I'd be advocating option one to collect data, lease cost, easy, yep. And then review when the data is available.
Question from Councillor Crossland.
Thank you, Mr. Lyons. So if we've got a bus that's not fit for purpose and we haven't got the data and we would like a different bus, why are we locking into a two-year contract, not a one? Oh, sorry, I'm reading... option one.
The motion before you on the screen behind you, Councillor Crossland, states only for a year.
So I can't see what's behind me, but I'm reading option one in my agenda says 2 years.
But Councillor Valescu moved for 1 year.
Well, no. He said option one.
The option is printed, did have for 2 years. I'd feedback, Councillor, that the bus is got the wrong style of motor in it at the moment, but the size and capacity works, and I'd be very happy to either agree to a 1 year or a 1+1 where we can have some reporting and an extension if necessary. I accept that the wording at the moment is for 2 years.
So is the motion behind me 1 year or 2 years?
Just seek clarification from Councillor Valescu, because governance and my 1+1. So can we reflect, say 1+1?
2 years for the midway review or something like that.
And 2 years aligns with the purchase of the new bus.
Yeah.
With the change of the new buses, the existing two buses.
Thank you. Just wait for governance to update. So I've got agreeance from the mover, from the seconder. Great. While that gets modified, have you got any further questions, Councillor Crossland? Otherwise, I'll move to whether there's someone speaking against. Is there anyone speaking against or questions, Councillor Topper?
We're struggling with the fact that we haven't worked through this thoroughly enough yet. We
Is there anyone else speaking for or against the motion? Councillor Clancy? Mr. Lyons, do you have any comment on that?
My recommendation would be, if we're going to do it, let's have a year. I can't guarantee that 6 months of data is something that I can put forward to you and really advise you on what to do in the future. We do have a leased bus. It's all set up for us. I think the one-year option is a great option to come back to you, and you can say, nah, had enough, seen it. Or you can say, yes, let's go for a further year. Or you can say, you know what? Let's buy a bus. We've seen enough.
Can I ask a question? Just with regards to eventually moving into an electric fleet, which is, to my knowledge, a part of our carbon neutral plan, would the 2 years line up with transferring some of our fleet or most of our fleet to an electric vehicle fleet, which is outlined in our plan?
So through the Chair, the 2 years lines up beautifully with the turnover and replacement of the two existing buses and the installation of charging facilities for our electric vehicles.
Great.
Members, we're just playing around with the wording on this part two. If members want to do a 1+1, it would be better to bring it back after the 1 year mark for review, and keeping it currently as a one-year agreement, because the way that it's worded, you would want to see the performance over that period before you make a decision to extend in any event. So it would make sense to just do it for 1 year with $33,500 to be included into the 21-22 budget, and then bring that report back next year for consideration, just to keep it clean.
Through the Chair, may I respond to the proposal of a 6 months trial? I think we've agreed about the 12 months. The people that predominantly use the community bus service, we're not at full quota yet. We still haven't we've only just started to reintroduce the weekend social trips and things like that. We are nowhere near what we had been before, and even the number of passengers that we can carry on buses and so forth is still, so to really truly get a good picture and have good data, a 12-month trial to extend would be recommended.
So I guess I'll look to the mover and the seconder, because it looks like it might be different again. Are you guys happy with that being 1 year and it comes back for the review rather than 1+1? You happy with that? Great. I'll look for anyone else to speak against that. Otherwise, I'll look straight to Councillor Valescu to close the debate. Thank you, Councillor Valescu. I'll just read the motion for you so you are aware what we are discussing. It says that Council, one, notes the impact of COVID-19 during 2020 on the community bus program. 2, extend the trial for a third community bus for a period of 1 year with the option for an extension for a further year and includes the cost of $33,500 into the 2021-22 annual budget process. All those in favour of that motion? All those against? That is carried by majority. Thank you, members. Thank you, Mr. Lyons, Ms. Byrne. Members, we move to page 171 of your agenda, funding support for the City of Unley litigation. I'll look to the floor for a mover. Councillor Valescu. Well, we have previously discussed this and previously agreed to it. Correct. Councillor Crossland, Councillor Masika, seconding. Anybody speaking against?
I guess we've got to go there.
Councillor Crossland, do you have anything further to say?
I just think we stick by the agreements we made. It was done in good faith to try and protect trees across all councils. It's a sort of a half win. It's clarified some points. It's not the outcome we wished for, but they took the action on behalf of all councils, and I think we should honour our agreement.
Thank you, Councillor Crossland. I will put that to the chamber. All those in favour? Carried unanimously. Thank you, members. And we move to the last item of the agenda for this evening, as agreed to in our extension, funding of driveway crossovers. I'll look to the chamber for a mover. Councillor Telfer. Anything to say? A seconder? Councillor Gard, anything to say? Anybody speaking against? I'll put that to the chamber. All those in favour? That's carried unanimously. Thank you, members. And as we have reached the final item of our motion, I declare the meeting closed at 10:14 p.m. Thank you, members.